Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Beru.
Two wins quiet the trade talk and end the doom and gloom? Not so much for Vancouver, though. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode number 88. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. It is February 10th, 2021, episode number 88, and we are talking Flames hockey tonight. And yeah, Super Bowl is behind us. That is done. We're done watching football, and now we're ready to just settle in and only worry about hockey. Super Bowl was boring. Same old, Brady wins again. Halftime show was a complete joke in my mind. It's not my style. I'm not sure what in the hell those white masks were on. But you know what? It was a letdown after getting all excited for a great sports weekend. I was hoping to wrap it up with a Super Bowl. We had Battle of Alberta on Saturday night. That lacked a little bit of the fire I was excited to see. But it's a little different when there's no fans there to play a role in that. But all I care is we got 2 points that night, and that was good news. We backed it up Tuesday night with a super complete game. I got home against Winnipeg, and now I'm smiling and super pumped and excited for a four-game matchup with the hated Vancouver Canucks. That is such an important series. Man, think about what can happen. If we somehow swept or even took 3 out of 4, ends Vancouver's hopes. Completely ends Vancouver's hopes. And it'll vault the Flames up into, you know, solidify the third spot and put us in a pretty darn good positive position. And if for some reason we got swept, Canucks are right back in this and we're sitting on the outside praying that things go together and the world's going to be falling like it is in Vancouver, because holy cow, are they exaggerating, worried, scared, and going absolutely crazy in Vancouver. And that is so fun to watch. Well, what's on the show today? We got a good show. We recap 3 games from 3 different opponents. That's something we haven't been able to say this season. And then I will give my evaluation on Coach Ward. It's interesting. And then Brogan Houston from NHL Trade Talk joins the show to talk a little bit about the Bennett trade request. And will this year be a busy or quiet trade year? We'll go into some Flames news, or in the division news, and a listener question discussing the 3 depth forwards that the Flames acquired this past offseason. We wrap with Blake Fryers from the Debate Hockey Podcast. He's going to join the show to preview this upcoming 4-game set with the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, it is. It is another very, very, very busy episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, we have got 3 games. Yes, 3 games. To recap from last week, last time we talked to you, and it started off negatively. We'll roll into that game. That took place last Thursday night, the 4th of February. It was a 4-1 loss to the Winnipeg Jets, and it was in Winnipeg. It was Markstrom versus Hellebuck, a very, very, very sloppy, sloppy game. And, yeah, tons of turnovers, and it just seemed like everybody was turning over. Nordstrom turned over a key one. Backlund had a bad one. Giordano had a bad one. Ryan gets injured. He hurts his hand in the second period. Man, things weren't going at all the Flames' way. And, yeah, just wasn't a good night. An empty netter made it 4-1 for Winnipeg. Flames' lone goal, Mangiapane, his second of the night. And, yeah, things were doom and gloom. Bennett was a healthy scratch, which had everybody in Calgary forgetting about the game. I felt like I didn't even watch the game because I was more worried about watching Twitter to see if Bennett got traded, because my thought was, well, shoot, if you sit him down, you can't honestly feel like he's not capable of being in the lineup. So there's a reason for sitting him down. Well, I don't know. I guess that never panned out to be that way. And he sets out, comes right back into the lineup Saturday night, the 6th of February, when Edmonton came down for the first Battle of Alberta. We also got a night with the Blasty jerseys. They were back. They were interesting to see. Lots of people really loved them. I liked them. They weren't horrible. I'm not a Blasty fan. I did say, though, I'd be a Blasty fan if they win in them, and they did. So far, so good. Lindholm gets the Flames going right away in the first period. They're up 1-0, and it was awful from there. Awful from there. Flames get outshot 16-3 in the first period, and I'll tell you what, it was very Vancouverish around Calgary after the first period. The new Flames came out in the second period, and after two, the shots were 22-19 in favor of Edmonton, and things looked really, really good. Bennett was paired with Monahan and Gaudreau, and that line was great. Really good. They were even better last night. So that's a good sign. Dubé had a huge power play goal. He showed some big emotion. It was fun to see him score that one. That was nice. And then Gaudreau followed it up and made it 5-3 on a beautiful snipe. Boy, was that a rocket up into the upper corner. Fun to see that guy clicking too. I've been tough on him. I'm still not a believer until I see it in the postseason. But so far this regular season, good things from Johnny Gaudreau. I like it. I like it a lot. Flames goals. Lindholm is fourth. Lucic is third. Backlund is third. Dubé is second. Gaudreau his seventh. And Bennett his first on the year. Then last night, Tuesday night, the 9th of February, Winnipeg Jets in the Saddle Dome to take on the Calgary Flames. Markstrom against Hellebuck. Markstrom's third game in a row starting. 0-0 after one, and it was a good first period. A little sloppy back and forth, but teams exchanged chances, and quite honestly, I thought a pretty well-played first period. Not unhappy at all. Then in the second period, Markstrom saved the day. Two huge saves that kept the Flames in this. I mean, 10 Ballers. Boy, I'm so appreciative that we have that guy behind, you know, backing us. Man, has it changed just everything in this, with this team. All around great hockey game. Both teams were good. A full 60 minutes for the Flames. I considered a top two performance of the year. I thought the game we lost against Toronto, we were pretty good. And I thought the 3-0 Vancouver win, earlier in the year, we were pretty good. Also, this one was, I'd consider a full 60 minutes. It was a great measuring stick game for the Flames. And, yeah, character builder. Good win. No line shuffling. That was great news. And it's funny how you let it work. It works. Goals came from Mangiapane, his third, Frey's, his first, Lindholm, his fourth on the power play. That was a late goal, and boy, does that send everybody in Calgary home super, super happy. Flames, I had back and forth with Winnipeg. This team, man, every game is a one goal, tight game. And we've rolled off, I believe we're done with, two-thirds of our schedule against Winnipeg already, and we're done going to Winnipeg. So that's good, because I think this Winnipeg team is going to keep getting better and better. As we saw Pierre-Luc Dubois make his debut last night, looked pretty good. A little maybe rusty, but not too bad. Boy, that Ehlers guy, oof, does he impress me every single night. And where was Blake Wheeler? Real quiet. Really shocking. Good games. Boy, I'm excited for this week's hockey action. All right, Flames fans, time to talk about Jeff Ward. All right, first thing, I'm going to preface this off the get-go, so I don't have anybody sending me any hate mail. And I'm being realistic about this. This team has went through four coaches in 10 years. I do not blame Ward for the early season struggles completely. I think he played a part in it. And that's what I want to talk about, is that part. This isn't completely a Jeff Ward problem. I still believe and still question some of the core issues and some of the culture issues, and I still think that that should have been addressed last offseason and wasn't. Whether it was COVID, whether it was whatever, Treliving didn't address that, and I hope that doesn't haunt us. As for the Jeff Ward things, and here's, I have kind of five areas I question with coaching decisions, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not digging back into last year when he made one of the worst coaching blunders in Calgary Flames history with putting Riddick in against Dallas in the situation he put him in. Here's what's got me and got my temp boiling just a little bit this year. His love affair with Lucic is number one. Now, Lucic, I'll preface that with saying that the last two games, Lucic has found a spot on the third line, which we'll talk about in a minute, and has been good, has been really good. But this has not been a stellar beginning of the year for Lucic. It's getting better. He takes a penalty, turns one over that results in a goal, and gets moved up the depth chart. I don't understand that. Just the night before, Dubé turns one over, sits out the whole third period. What message does that send to the young players? That slow Lucic can do what he wants and mess up whenever, and there's no ramifications. But if I do, then I sit. I don't know that that's a good message. And I still believe, and I tweeted it, that when that Thursday night game prior to Sam Bennett asking for a trade request, Lucic moved up above Sam Bennett on the depth chart, and Lucic was god-awful that night. And I tweeted that if Sam Bennett tells the Flames to F off and wants a trade, I won't blame him and I won't be upset. And sure enough, 4 days later, what do you think happens? I still think that had something to do with it. So then, another move I don't understand is this. So, you scratch Bennett for last Thursday's game versus Winnipeg. If you're going to trade him in the next 24 to 36 hours and you're in the middle of working a deal, I get it. I understand. It's fine. He said it was a personnel issue and a performance issue. Prior to that, Bennett had his best game of the year. And now he's a healthy scratch against Winnipeg. But back in the lineup on Saturday, and then mysteriously moved up onto the first/second line with Gaudreau and Monahan, the Flames' premier scoring line, where I believe he should have gotten a shot years ago with them when nobody else besides Hudler and Lindholm have worked in the last 6 years, 7 years. But Bennett would get a period here and there to try it, or a game here and there, never a stretch of five games. And that's another thing that's got me fired up about the job that Ward's doing this year. Any adversity this team faces at all, anytime we get down by a goal or two, or he feels that something's not going exactly the right way for the Flames, the line blender comes out. It's a knee-jerk reaction every single time. How do you look at your guys and tell them, have some faith in them? Have some faith in your lines. Let your guys build some continuity together. The blender doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It didn't work last year, and it's not working this year. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Do you think that you're going to put them in a blender and it's mysteriously, after all this time when you've had every line combination known to man with this roster, that you've been able to use, and all of a sudden, magically, one night, you're going to find the magic potion by putting him in a blender? Come on. Building good lines comes with working, putting them together, having them gel together, having them practice together, and learning over time. Give them a chance. Give them five games. Player placement. We're down 3-1 to Winnipeg with 3 minutes to go, a little over a week ago. He's got Levo and Lucic out on an offensive zone faceoff. Sorry, Pee Wee coaches wouldn't do that. It's ridiculous. Everybody says he's a player's coach. Yeah, he seems like a super nice guy. I like Jeff Ward. I like him personally. I wish there was some justification on these things I'm bringing up, because there isn't. How do you justify having Levo and Lucic out on an offensive zone faceoff, down by a goal with 3 minutes to go? I don't know what you say to that. Is he too much of a player's coach? There is a fine line between wanting your players to like the coach or wanting your players to want to work hard and respect the coach. That's what I think we're missing a little bit of. Now, recently, in the last two games, Ward has been able to put together some good lines. And some of the pieces have fallen into place, finally. Finally. And we went two full games without a blunder. That's nice. And guess what? God, we won both games. It's funny how that works, huh? Two good performances. But how long will this last? Will he allow them to keep building continuity? Let's take a look at those lines. On the back end, it's stayed the same. Gio Anderson, Hanif, Valimaki, Nestra. Up front, we're running the Tkachuk, Lindholm, Dubé, which has been good. We're running Gaudreau, Monahan, and now Bennett on the right side. Two good games in a row, especially last night was really good against Winnipeg. Lucic, Backlund, and Mangiapane, you could arguably say, have been our best line. And I've been the biggest critic of Milan Lucic this year. It's been crazy. He's looked decent the last two games. Decent. Haven't had the turnovers. He's made some smart plays down low, and he's made some really good plays, actually. If he can keep that up, we're going to love it. I like that line. It's working. Fourth line, I like this. Ryan leaves. Byron Fraser steps in. I could say you can interchange either one of those two in this, and we'd be fine. Nordstrom on the left, Levo on the right. I thought both had a great night against Winnipeg on Tuesday, and I thought Nordstrom was pretty darn good against Edmonton, too. Those guys are coming along. Those guys are getting better every day. I just hope now that Jeff Ward lets these guys work together and lets them continue this success. And if we get down to Vancouver on Thursday night or Saturday night, the panic button on the bench isn't hit and the lines don't go into a blender. I don't think that's a recipe for success. Jeff Ward might be a great person and a great guy, and I respect him. But he's been making some coaching decisions that have not just me, but a lot of people wondering and shaking their heads. Now, on a positive, we got some lines that are working now. Let's let them work and let's continue this success. Joining Flames Unfiltered now from NHL Trade Talk, Brogan Houston joins the show. Thanks for joining me, Brogan.
Thanks for having me, Brad. Good to be here.
Yeah, some Flames trade talk I want to go through as the earth shut down in Calgary 2 weeks ago when Elliot Friedman reported that Sam Bennett wanted a trade request. That surprised many, not me so much, just based off the past history. The waters of trade talk have kind of calmed down now as Bennett's been shuffled on the lines after being a healthy scratch one time. Do you foresee him being moved in the near future?
You know what? I think it's still anybody's guess, but I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, with all the rumors going about. I do think there are a lot of moves that potentially could be made, a lot of teams that have shown interest in him. And I think there's half a dozen teams or so that have a realistic package that they could put together for Sam Bennett. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a trade within the next couple of weeks here.
What are some of the teams that you think would be potentially good fits for Sam Bennett?
So as a Vancouver Canucks fan, I'd love to see him there. And hopefully I'm still welcome on this podcast if I'm a Canucks fan. But, you know, we in Vancouver, we're obviously not quite satisfied with Jake Virtanen. And, you know, if there was a deal to be made there, I'm sure Canucks fans would be thrilled. And as with Flames fans, I mean, Virtanen's a big body. I think he's somewhere around 6'2", 6'3". You know, big guy, scored 18 goals last year. He's a good forward. He just hasn't found his right fit with Travis Green and the Canucks. So I think that would be, you know, definitely a possibility. What do you think about that?
I do not see that happening. Number one, I think that the give for Vancouver, I don't think you have the assets. I mean, there's no way Calgary would ever agree to a one-for-one for Jake Virtanen. Virtanen hasn't showed anything, where at least Sam Bennett's showed playoff success. Calgary doesn't have to move Sam Bennett either. So that's one thing that Calgary is working in their favor, where Jake Virtanen is just basically worthless to you guys right now. And his trade value is at like a supreme all-time low. I don't see that also just because of it being in the North Division and, I don't know. I mean, I know the Lucic and Neal thing worked where it was like bad deal for bad deal, but for everything I've seen from Sam Bennett shows that he's going to be top-notch and professional about this. And I don't know that if he finds success with Gaudreau and Monahan like he's had for the previous two games, and that continues, that this all just fades by the wayside and hopefully maybe goes away.
Yeah, you're right there. He did have a really good game against Edmonton there, Gaudreau and Monahan. And I know after that game, I think he looked a lot better than he has in previous games. So, you know, like you said, if he can find a fit on that line with those guys, I think he'd be great staying in Calgary for sure.
Yeah.
I do have a couple other teams that I thought, you know, might be interested in as well based on, you know, what I've heard, the trade rumors and stuff as well.
Which would those be?
So another one I was looking at was Detroit. We've seen the other day Detroit benched Anthony Mantha, and this definitely would not be able to be a one-for-one deal. There would have to be some salary cap in both ways there, because Mantha's making 5.7 a year. And Bennett, I believe, is 2.55, is that right?
Yep, right in that range.
And so, you know, we'd have to see some additional pieces going probably both ways there. But if Detroit continues to not be happy with Mantha, I could see him on the trading block.
I would be.
He's another big body, 6'5", 230 pounds or so.
I would love Anthony Mantha. I just don't know that the Flames can afford Anthony Mantha. But the thing with that is, I actually really wanted and kind of projected last summer that Anthony Mantha would be a target that I would like to see the Flames go after. I think he'd be a great fit in Calgary. I just don't know, you know, what we would have to give with him that Detroit would want. I think we have enough prospects where we could probably make that happen. I just worry more about getting that to happen with the cap. And I don't know that I would, even with the unhappiness that Detroit's showing for Mantha, I would be really shocked if they were willing to give up on a young talent like that in the middle of a rebuild, where I feel like he'd be a key cog of a rebuild. So I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see that as a Flames guy.
That being said, a couple of years ago, they got rid of Thomas Tatar and they got rid of Tom Nyquist and, you know, some of their kind of key guys. And they mostly wanted picks back. And so, like you said, they're in a rebuild. Picks are valuable. So are young guys. He's 26 years old. So kind of right in his prime, maybe just approaching his prime, but
yeah,
I mean,
because they're probably not going to be relevant for four more years. You know, Detroit's probably not going to be relevant for 3 to 4 more years. You know, that puts him at 29, 30 years old. You know, I can't rule that one out. Boy, I'd love to see that in Calgary. That would be wonderful having him on the wing.
Can you imagine him and Tkachuk as your 1-2 punch on you know, grit and whatnot?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd really like to see that. I just don't know. You know, that's one of the things that's so tricky and so tough right now in the league is making those good hockey trades because of the cap. And it's not the cap's fault. It's the GM's fault for putting themselves in cap hell that almost every GM has put himself in. So, That would make it a little bit tricky and difficult. And, you know, anytime we talk about trades and stuff, it's hard. It's hard to come up with trade scenarios that would work logistically with the cap and also make sense for both teams in a return. So, that'd be interesting. You know, I also, with Brian Burke going to Pittsburgh, the second he went, you know, announced that yesterday, those rumors started because Burke drafted Bennett in Calgary, and I know he's a big fan of him, even though he's not a fan of how he's playing right now. But I don't know. I don't think that anything like that'll happen. I don't see him landing in Pittsburgh, but there's definitely rumblings going on about that.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's just it. I think there's, you know, half a dozen teams that realistically could make a push for him. I think Boston's another one with Jake DeBrusk there. He makes about $1 million more than Sam Bennett, and I think they're similar caliber of players. Jake DeBrusk is having a rough start to his season as well, and there's, you know, rumors of him for Vertanen plus picks and whatnot. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think like I said, there's half a dozen teams that are still out that really make a push for Sam Bennett if that's what they wanted.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what's going to happen with this. And I don't know what the return is going to be for a Sam Bennett right now. I don't know. I really don't know. I think his trade value is at a low point right now. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I would guess it'd probably be more for picks and to give Calgary some cap space heading into the latter part of the season and the NHL trade deadline. Speaking of the trade deadline and with the border restrictions and quarantine, where we saw Pierre-Luc Dubois sit for 2 weeks waiting to play, and he appeared last Tuesday night. Do you think that'll slow trades down this year?
I really do. You know, we haven't really seen any trades going, you know, through, what is it, like 13 to 15 games or so per team right now.
Yeah.
We've really only seen the Patrick Laine and Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. And I do think that's a symbol of things to come.
I do too.
Trade deadline, sorry, is pretty slow.
Yeah, I think it's going to probably be a tricky one just because, yeah, logistically. I mean, if you make a move to bring a guy in, boy, you're going to want to have him in the lineup right away. And with the way things are right now currently with the border crossings in for between the U.S. and Canada, that's just not going to happen. And it doesn't seem like the Canadian government's in any hurry to let up on those restrictions. So I think it'll be quiet. And plus, you know, we talked about it earlier in this conversation that, you know, just cap space, when teams just don't have cap space, it's hard to make, you know, player for player deals where they're at the same money. Yeah, those are just hard to come by.
It's so true. Yeah, it's really an unprecedented situation that we've got right now.
And one we're going to be in for years to come.
Hopefully we're out of it soon.
It's going to be probably be years to come with the cap staying flat for at least 3 years. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting. It's because GMs are going to have to get really, really fancy on how they work this out. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting with the North Division being just in Canada and the whole National Hockey League playing within just their divisions. Have you liked that so far this year?
Honestly, I really have. In the West here, and Flames fans can relate to this. In the West, we hear so much about Toronto and Montreal and these teams, but we never actually see them play unless you go out of your way to deliberately watch them play. So I really liked this year, seeing what these other podcasts and sports reporters are talking about with Toronto, because, you know, I mostly watch games in the West, right? And so I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. Obviously, the rivalries as well. Not that Vancouver's really sparking any rivalries right now, but, the Battle of Alberta, we see that a bunch of times this year. We'll see, you know, Vancouver and Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, those games, we'll see them all so frequently. And I've loved it so far.
We'll wrap with one final question, Brogan. What are some of the most interesting NHL, you know, trade rumors that you got going on right now?
Oh man. I've talked a little bit about these half a dozen or so teams that would be interested in making trades for Sam Bennett. And I think the most interesting thing in the league right now is those packages of players. You know, Dobrowski's on the trading block, Bennett's on the trading block, Vertanen's on the trading block. I didn't even mention, like, you know, Victor Mete and even Tony DeAngelo, even though he's not quite as desired right now. And so I think these teams and even Toronto with Travis Dermott, he's, you know, rumored to be on the block as well. And so I think, you know, any of these teams could realistically put a package together for any of those other players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that's the big thing right now. Cause realistically, we probably will see a couple of these players get traded, throughout this season. And I think any of those players could get traded for any of those players with the right packages put together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It should be fun. It's one of those years I just don't think a lot of trades are going to happen, but boy, anytime they do, when you can get a deal like Laine and Dubois, that was exciting. And hopefully we'll see a few more of those trickle down, and we'll see what happens with the ever-changing Sam Bennett situation. Thanks so much for joining me, Brogan. You can check Brogan Houston out on NHL Trade Talk. Enjoy this week's hockey action, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news and some milestones hit last week as Michael Backlund played his 700th regular season game. That came Thursday night in Winnipeg. Noah Hanifin played his 400th game versus Edmonton on Saturday night, and that's just flat out crazy to imagine because at his age, like, how in the world is he already that far along? Good news if you're an American Hockey League fan. Stockton Heat finally getting up and going here soon. In February, they will have four games in Calgary. And, yeah, all of them will be against the Toronto Marlies. That'll take place on the 21st, 23rd, 24th, and 26th of February. Bad news for the Flames. Center Derek Ryan has been placed on long-term IR with a fractured finger. The injury came last Thursday night in a block shot in the Winnipeg game. That opens a roster spot up, one that was filled by Byron Fraze, who was recalled from Stockton. He centered that fourth line Saturday night. Tuesday night, scored his first goal as a Flame on Tuesday night in a win versus Winnipeg. That's great to, yeah, that's great to see. And, yeah, that's his first game back in over a year since he played in Montreal. The long-term IR for Ryan means that he is out till at least February 28th and cannot return to play till March 1st. The Flames don't accumulate any future cap space while he's on long-term IR. That should help the Flames out a little bit. Sam Bennett, yeah, it's all it was in news for a long, long time. Well, Sam finally met with the media, downplayed the trade request situation, and his quote was, "I think I'm just going to keep that between my agent and Tree Living. I don't really need to get into it that much. My job is to just play hockey and do my job. I'm going to leave everything else up to them." Well, after being a healthy scratch after that on the Thursday night game, Sam Bennett mysteriously joins the lineup again for Saturday night's Battle of Alberta and now is placed on the Gaudreau-Monahan line, which many of us, including myself, have been saying for a long time that let's give him a chance with that line. No one else has worked besides Lindholm and Yuri Hudler. So give him a chance. Give him five games. Well, we're two games into that experiment. Yeah, so far so good. As I feel that was one, he was one of the key cogs of that line last night in a great performance in Winnipeg. Let's go around the division and talk about what's going on in the North, and the standings are such. As we speak, Toronto and Montreal are battling it out, but as the standings currently sit, Toronto leads 13 games played, 21 points, .808 win percentage. Montreal in second with 18 points, a .75 win percentage. They are 8-2-2. Edmonton, who's played 15 games, the most of anybody in the division, they're 8-7 with a .533. Winnipeg played 12 games, they're 7-4-1, 15 points, .625. Calgary sits in fifth place with 13 points in 12 games, 6-5-1. They do have a higher win percentage than Edmonton, though, and that may matter. We'll see how it all goes. The North has been pretty good with the COVID problems, with none, actually, so that's great news. They have Flames have a .542 win percentage. Struggling as we get ready to face them. Vancouver's played four more games in Calgary, 16 games played. They're 6-10, a .375, a glaring minus 13 goal differential. And that's crazy because they were at a 16-plus goal differential when they played Ottawa. Ottawa sits in seventh. Yeah, this team is done dancing. 14 games played, 2-11-1, just 5 points on the year. That is flat out crazy. Well, we all sit and say, well, it's early. It's really early in the year. And it is to an extent. But one of the things we have to keep in mind is that we're a fifth of the way through. Some more than that. A third of the way through for a lot. At least, yeah, a lot. And we're at that 12 to 15 game mark. Starts mattering now. Well, I love how The Athletic puts out their projections for the playoffs. And I love it. I look at it every day, to be honest with you. Toronto has a 97% chance of going to the playoffs. Montreal, an 87% chance. A 97% chance also. Calgary has an 83%. Winnipeg, 60. Edmonton, 56. Vancouver, just 6%. Ottawa, a flat out zero. Calgary's percentages of where they'll finish. They have a 10% chance of finishing first, a 20% chance of finishing second, a 31% chance of finishing third, a 22% chance of finishing fourth. That would be the final playoff spot. A 14% chance of finishing fifth, a 3% chance of finishing sixth, and a 0% chance of making it to the cellar. Boy, would that be bad. Well, what does that mean? We have a pretty good chance of making the playoffs. But there's a lot of work to do. And it starts this weekend with this Vancouver series, as that is crazy. 8 points up for grabs in a four-game series. Now, listener question, Facebook poll. We do one every week. This week we got a listener question, and I love it. From Samuel Schmidt from Dauphin, Manitoba. This is a great question. This is a really good one. Of the three depth forwards the Flames acquired during the offseason, who has been the best? Now, the three forwards that he's talking about are Simone, Levo, and Nordstrom. Well, I'll give you my take on all three. I thought Nordstrom started off very, very sluggish, very slow, was not impressed, did not think things were going real well. Well, the last four games, I feel like he's gotten better and better and better and better and better every game. I like him on the penalty kill. I love what he's been doing on that fourth line the last two games, and I see good things with him. Josh Levo started off really slow, I thought, and then kind of started to pick up steam, and then was a healthy scratch. Was back in the lineup last night, and I thought he was flying. I thought he had a really, really good game. And I look forward to seeing. One of the things that people forget is that guy broke his kneecap last year. Missed a ton of time. That's a bad injury, a tough one to recover from. And he's back, and it's going to take some time. He didn't have a camp to get ready, a shortened camp, no games. You know, we got to give this guy a chance. I like what he's doing lately. He is my favorite of the three, and the one I think is doing the best so far. Nordstrom would be second. Dominic Simone, I'm a little disappointed, and I think everybody is. He's been given some chances on that Gaudreau Monahan line. Never seemed to really click there, although he didn't get a five-game chance like I believe everybody deserves if they're going to be moved into a situation. Just hasn't found his home yet. I'm not giving up on him. I think all three of them can still be key cogs to us down the stretch here. But he seems to be struggling a little bit more and not quite finding his way as quickly as the other two. I am really excited to see what Levo and Nordstrom can do consistently together on that fourth line. I love how that fourth line is constructed right now. And I hope that stays the same because so far so good with that line in the last two games, that's for sure. I think the acquisition of all three of these are really, really important. And you know what I said when it happened? If we could get one or two of them to pan out, we're going to be loving life. And we're probably got pretty tough to tell this early, but we have two of them that might be showing signs that they're going to work out for us. So we can hope that that trend continues upward.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he's always on to preview Vancouver Canucks. You can also listen to him with me on the Debate Hockey podcast. Blake Friars, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, it's time for another. We've played twice this year. Calgary beat Vancouver on January 16th to start the year off for the Flames, and followed it up with a win 5-2 on the 18th, both those games in Calgary. Now it's time to change the venue as Calgary heads into Vancouver for three games starting Thursday, Saturday, and Monday, I believe, and then is it the following Wednesday?
In Calgary, yeah.
Vancouver comes to Calgary. So we get you four in a row here. And Vancouver is I don't even know what you describe it as, but reeling and reeling worse than our Flames are reeling.
If Calgary's reeling, I don't even know what Vancouver is right now.
Let's get to the, I don't know. We always call Ottawa a dumpster fire. I don't know if we can call that in Vancouver yet.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
The thing, you look at the North standings and they've played 16 games. Calgary's played 11. They've managed just 12 points in 16, and I think the most glaring stat, and maybe you'll disagree, but it is a goal differential. And it's currently stands at minus 13, and if you – what did we figure it?
If you take the Ottawa series out, it's minus 26.
Scary.
Yeah, it's not good enough. I don't know if I have a big rant on here like I did on the debate, but
you should check that out.
It's just definitely check that out when it comes. It was a rant for the ages for sure, but I'm at a loss of words from what this team has showed me up to this point, right? They start the season 2-5, right? And then they win 4 in a row to get back to 6-5. And then they go out east. They get drilled by Montreal. They get drilled by Toronto. And now we're back to square one here at 6-10. I think something's got to happen. It's not a Jake Virtanen trade. That ain't the answer. It's not an Adam Gaudette trade. That also ain't the answer. It's got to come from up top. I think the axe may fall on Jim Benning here. Travis Green. But I think Jim Benning's got to go. I think he's got
to
go.
I don't know. I just feel it in the air tonight. A loss tonight, 3-1, in a game that Vancouver
they controlled for 40 minutes.
Controlled, and I think when I finally was able to flick the TV on, it was 27-7 were shots, and it was the start of the latter part of the second period, and it looked like all systems go in Vancouver. It really did, and I thought, well, maybe tonight's the night they turn it around, and maybe that's great if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan. Maybe not so much if you're a Flames fan, since I'd rather have them coming in on a skid. But, playing real well against a good, good Toronto team and controlling play. And then Toronto gets a goal and, they take the lead. And I messaged you and I said, your team is dominating, but you're still tied. And I've been there. It's extremely frustrating. But, then that third goal comes in and I looked as the camera panned over the Vancouver bench, and I thought, whoa, that was a visual that was complete.
Distraught, frustrated, lost. I don't know. We're running out of adjective to describe that, but yeah, something needs to happen. It looks like Travis Green may have lost the room. I hope not. When you let out so many veteran players, Toffoli, Markstrom, Tanev, right? I think a lot of players were pissed off with the moves that were made, and they thought that the better job could have been done to keep that team together that had so much success in last year's bubble. But at the end of the day, the moves that Jim Benning made, he kind of made his own bed. Now he's got to lay in it, right? So, with all the contracts they handed out. So,
well, the moves even get tougher if you're a Vancouver fan. When you look at the cap, you're at basically zero, and you have Pettersson and Hughes, and I know some things come off the books next year, and it's probably a little early to look ahead to next year already, but when you see a contract looming for Pettersson and Hughes, it is a little scary if you're a Vancouver fan. It would you guys would probably say, oh, it's going to be difficult if you were having a great year this year, but having a bad year this year probably even makes it worse and even more difficult to get those two guys in at a manageable contract. And this team, I still think that they're a much better team than they're playing, but this has got to be a low point that Vancouver hasn't seen for quite a few years.
Quite a few years? What do you mean?
Well,
they've been bad for the last five up until last year.
I get that, Blake, but you didn't have expectations like you had this year.
Five years ago we were rebuilding. This year we're supposed to take that next step, and it just hasn't happened.
That's right? What I mean. Like, that's where disappointment levels get higher, because when expectation goes up, disappointment levels can drop further.
I mean, the last time we've had expectations and didn't meet those expectations was probably 2013 when we got swept by San Jose.
Exactly.
So it's been a long time. Like, and yeah, I guess
Vancouver fans have been ruthless on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that's if you're a Vancouver fan and you're a positive fan, stay off Twitter because nothing on Canucks Twitter is positive right now. It is hashtag fire Benning was the number one trending in Canada on Saturday night, and after tonight, I haven't looked tonight. It's probably near the top again.
It might even be in America.
I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough that, you know, I defended Benning a lot. You know, he drafted a lot of good players. Hughes, Pettersson, Besser, Demko. He traded for JT Miller. He traded for Tanner Pearson, right? Drafted Hoglander, drafted Ylevi. Maybe you call him a bust, right? But I mean, he drafted so many good players and he just hasn't surrounded them with good enough talent, right? I mean, Beagle's an important player. You need players.
You paid those bottom six guys way too much.
I mean, you're paying Louis Erickson $6 million to sit in your press box. You're paying Sven Berchi $3.6 million to sit in Utica. You're paying Jordy Benn $2 million. You're paying Brandon Sutter $4.3 million to play fourth line center. You're paying Roussel to be in another lineup. You're paying Virtanen $2.6 million to be a healthy scratch five of the last seven games. There's so much dead money. Hell, you're even paying Luongo $3 million the next 2 years. Like that's how tough it is for their cap. It's sad because they have such a good young core, and you hate to see Pettersson and Hughes' entry level contracts go to the wayside without having much success. It's tough. But something's got to happen, man. I hope that it's Jim Benning. He has to go.
Scary thing is there, I'm not sure what's out there for replacements right at the moment. And
Hey, you're paying Luongo $3 million. See if he'll be your new GM. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. No idea.
As you prepare for a four-game set with the Calgary Flames, who...
Had our number the last 3 years.
Have had your number, but on the flip side of that, I mean, the waters haven't been real calm in Calgary as of lately either. Short of Edmonton's, if we don't come back and have a better second and third period on Saturday night in Edmonton, all shit was going to hit the fan in Calgary too. So, it hasn't been smooth sailing here either. What do you see? What's your outlook for this four game series?
From Calgary's standpoint,
from
or both? Well, Vancouver is going to be a really, really, really hungry team coming into this series. I mean, they've lost five in a row.
Hungry or give up?
Well, I mean,
I thought they were hungry tonight.
For 40 minutes.
Yeah, and then they lost. So does that hunger just go to frustration?
It's tough when you play a good 40 minutes and lose.
Oh.
That hurts. I mean, yeah. Especially when you outshoot Toronto 31-6.
Yeah.
In the first 40 minutes, right?
Disheartening loss.
It's those ones are that hurt the most. So where you play.
So is like the leadership
going into Calgary series? I mean, is it safe to say Vancouver is really playing with house money?
Well, kind of.
In a sense, I mean, they're already fucking 6-10. So, you know what I mean?
But losing 3 or 4 to Calgary does.
It seems over.
Then your season is over.
You need a split, at least.
At least.
If you're Vancouver. At least. You have to have a split or take 3 of 4.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a miracle to say, go and sweep.
No, I don't think either team will sweep this series. Four games is tough. I don't think either team
will
sweep.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but this is how quick things can change. Vancouver sweeps Calgary, they're 10-10.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, whoa, what's going on in Vancouver? They found their game.
Yep.
But no, all of a sudden, you get swept, you're 6-14. Your season's over.
I know.
Right? So that's how quick it can change in a division like this. I'm not saying those things are going to happen. I'm probably going to say Calgary's going to win 3 or 4.
I probably, you know, 3 or 4, I think it's either going to be 3 or 4 Calgary or a split. I just don't know. I don't know what to expect from this Vancouver team.
I don't know.
You know, quite honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to jump the gun here, but I don't know that we don't have a firing before Thursday's game. I just don't even know what to think. I really don't. So, I guess time will tell on that, but I they're always competitive games when these two teams come
but go
in.
On, so you're a huge Calgary fan, obviously. For me, I've watched about how many games have they played? 9?
Calgary has played 10 games.
So 10, I've probably watched 6 games.
11. I 11. It was the one I wanted to forget.
I probably watched 6 games, okay?
Yep.
I am getting the sense. I saw this a lot in Vancouver last year. You got a guy like Jacob Markstrom in net.
I know you're going with this.
I feel like Calgary plays way too loose in front of him. Cause they just know that he's going to make that save. And I saw it a lot last year in Vancouver where they would just give up on plays. Oh, we got Markstrom back there. He's going to make that big save and we're just going to give up. I saw it a lot in that first period against Edmonton.
Yep.
I saw it a lot in previous games. I'm like, oh, they got to figure that out quick because Markstrom's not always going to make that save.
We've had moments this year. I think I've tweeted it twice where
get that same sense though that I'm getting?
I've had moments where I really agree with you. And then I've had some periods where I've been like, no, they're not doing it tonight. Now the problem in Calgary is we haven't figured out a way to play consistent. We've played one game and that was a 3-0 victory over you guys that I considered
the second game.
Yeah. The one we shut you out the second game. I considered that. It was the second game we shut you guys out, right?
Okay, yeah, maybe you're right.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It was the first game.
First game. Second game was 5-2.
Yep, that was the game, the first game. Well, I think we spotted you 2-0 in the second time game, I think, I'm pretty sure, right?
1-0.
Or 1-0?
Yeah.
But anyways, that 3-0 victory over you was one time this year I consider it a full 60. We've been horrendous with giving up 2 goals in the first period and not scoring any, and it's tough when you're coming from behind. But yeah, I completely agree with your assessment of us depending on Markstrom too much. I'm not trying to deflect that. I think that's pretty common when you have a goaltender like him. Mm-hmm. But yet, if this team is going to be successful in Calgary, and most of all, if they're going to be consistent, they're going to have to figure out a way not to do that because you can't be consistent relying on a goaltender.
I mean, you can do that, but it ain't going to get you very far.
Well, you're not going to be consistent. You're not going to.
What's your thoughts on Jeff Ward? I got a lot of Flames fans that are my friends and they hate him. They want him gone. I'm just like, holy Christ. Like,
if you listen to the first part of this will be like one of the latter segments of this podcast. If you listen to my first section, it's going to be on Coach Ward. I have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Not with him as a person.
There's just some of his line combinations are just like head scratchers.
What are his line combinations?
Like, is Lucic on the top line? Is Sam Bennett on the top line? Is Lindholm, Monahan, and Gaudreau back together? Like, what's the deal? Like, I don't know what to expect.
He changes his lines every 5 minutes. That's my problem.
Yeah,
you know, the other night, we're down a goal to Winnipeg. We're down a goal to Winnipeg with 3 minutes to go, and Levo and Lucic are out there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's like...
That's the game where you guys hit 3 posts in the last 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get a bounce. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. But, yeah, I've noticed the Markstrom thing, not playing well in front of him as well as they could. And then the line combination, just like... let's get some consistency here, you know?
Absolutely. It's been a thorn in our side, and I know a lot of fans are upset about it, and myself included. I don't think Jeff Ward's a bad man. I just think that some of his coaching tactics have been way out there and not smart coaching decisions. So I don't know. This will be an interesting series. I always look forward to I almost look forward to the Vancouver games as much as I do the Edmonton games because.
Well, okay, yeah, let's talk about the Edmonton game. Did you think it lived up to the Battle of Alberta hype, or
no.
Just not enough in there? Eh?
No,
to me, it was kind of a boring game.
You know what the deal with that is? Either the Battle of Alberta. Okay, anytime you have two.
It's really good, or it's just like.
Or it's a letdown.
Last night was a letdown, but we got 9 more of those bad boys.
So. I know. It's going to be fun. And with this, we played Vancouver twice. We got 4 games of them now. After this week, we'll be 6 of 10 done against Vancouver. Always a fun series when you head up to head down to Vancouver for a little bit of Vancouver-Calgary rivalry. Thanks for joining me, Blake. It's always fun talking Canucks. Sorry it's in such a a dismal night if you're in Vancouver, but don't worry, we've been there this year too. So two teams that are somewhat struggling are going to try to fix their games against each other. That series starts Thursday night in Vancouver. Should be a good one. Thanks, Blake, for joining me.
No problem.
All right, Flames fans, we're back again Saturday night with another Hot Mic Game of the Week. So what the heck is a Hot Mic Game of the Week? Well, each week on Flames Unfiltered, I host a watch party. We watch a Flames game together. It's a lot of fun. We pick a different game each week. This week's game, Saturday night, February 13th, the Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames in Vancouver. Join the watch party, talk hockey with all the group. Have a good time. Complain, cheer on goals, talk about who's playing good, who's playing bad, and have a good time meeting other Flames fans. It's great fan interaction. We have prizes to give away. Watch for further details on it. We will be going on Saturday night. So how do you do it? Well, you grab your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device. You download the Hot Mic app. After you get on the app, you set up a free account. It's super easy. It's easy, easy, easy to do. Search Flames. Join the Flames Unfiltered group. Then check the viewing schedule. We'll be set up for Saturday night Flames Canucks. We get that set up later in the week. And you jump into the watch party when it's time by clicking the link. Now, when you get in there, let all your friends know that you're doing it so they can join us. When you get in there, you got to pick who wins or who scores the Flames' first goal. And that's part of the Hat Trick Jersey Contest. Here's what that is. Three things you got to do. Connect with Flames Unfiltered on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Join the Hot Mic Party. Pick the Flames' first goal of the night. And you're entered in to win a brand new Blasty jersey at the end of the regular season. We also give away a 2021 Upper Deck Flames hockey card set to every single night to just a random participant who is having a lot of fun in the Hot Mic Party with us. It's been fun. We've done three of them. This will be our fourth one this weekend. We hope we can see you there. It is a really, really good time. Well, Flames fans, another show in the books. Yeah. Thanks to all our listeners. We truly appreciate it. Help us out. Follow us on all the social media things. We're on all of them at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube under Inside Edge Hockey News. We appreciate that. And you know what? Whatever you listen to us on, Spotify, Apple, wherever, rate, review us. You know, it moves us up the rankings, gets more listeners and more, it's just something that really helps us out, and we really, truly appreciate it here at Flames Unfiltered. Have a great week, Flames fans. Join us Saturday night for that Hot Mic Party. Another busy, busy week of Flames hockey as we look to hand down a beating to those Vancouver Canucks. See you next week, Flames fans. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah! Baby! Play off! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.